Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Biggersway Baptist Church this morning. Obviously, a very special service today as we witness Imogen and Emma going through the waters of baptism and hearing about their story of faith in Jesus a little bit later on. My name's Martin. I'm the pastor here. I'll be flitting backwards and forwards, and Mike, one of our elders, will be helping out a little bit as well during the service. There will be a time when the children go out, and can I just say this morning that the Sunday Club needs to go out through the main door, not around the side of the baptistry, because we are only baptising Emma and Imogen today. So I think Mike's going to lead the way, aren't you, when that comes up? That's great. So what we're going to do, just before I bring a reading, Yvonne has something that she'd like to share. Just very briefly, to encourage us this morning as we start.
I was in Psalm 42 this morning, and we all know that song about as the deer pants for the water, don't we? So, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. And the bit that got me was, when can I go up and meet with God? And in the New King James, it will say sanctuary. Well, if we're not in a sanctuary, I don't know what we're in. This is church, isn't it? It's one of God's sanctuaries. And we can come and worship in his sanctuary. But better still, if we change the word to temple, the Spirit of God is in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we can commune 24/7 with the temple of the Holy Spirit that is in us. And so I just brought this word to encourage you that we're in the sanctuary. And in fact, corporately, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but individually, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when can we come meet with God? We can come meet with God today in his sanctuary through the Spirit that lives in us. So I just encourage you, let that Spirit commune with you and worship God. Amen.
Thanks, Yvonne. And we're going to prepare ourselves to do just that. I'm going to read some words from John's Gospel, then we're going to sing some songs. Most of the songs this morning have been chosen by Immy and Emma. So if you don't like any of them, talk to them, okay? Or just keep quiet. Yes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this morning, you're going to hear some accounts of how the Word who became flesh has impacted two young people's lives. And we're going to hear about the plan that God has for each and every one of us that enables us to come into his presence and to worship him. But more than that, to know his love and his grace and his forgiveness. So if you're able to stand, please do. And we're going to sing three songs before we get to the baptisms.
You were the Word.
Your hidden glory in creation.
unravel me with a melody you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'm not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul.
And I will trust in you for alone, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home.
Loving God, we thank you that there is nothing in our lives that is not known to you. We thank you that, Jesus, you were there at the beginning, you're here today, and you will be there when all things are brought to an end, because you are the everlasting God. And we can trust in you because you have led the way through life for us. You have conquered death for us, and you have shown us the way into the next life in the presence of the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done for us. You are worthy of our praise, and we give that to you freely, in song and in thought and in words and in action, because you are worthy. Amen. Please be seated. Now, this is the point in the service where the old joke comes out. I've really been trying hard to think of a new one, but I can't, so too bad. But I just wanted to explain, if you've never seen a believer's baptism before, I just wanted to explain to you what happens. And I don't know if we can get the camera on the pool now, can we, Jack, at all? It's coming. There it is. Okay, so over here we have the pool. At the moment, these barriers, this is nothing to do with anything to do with the baptism, apart from to stop you falling in. You'll notice they're a little bit too high to stop small people falling in. So we need the big people to keep hold of the small people, just for a few moments. On our pool here, it has two sets of steps, one each side, and that's really, really good, because what happens when someone is baptized is they're telling a story about something that has happened to them already. The Bible makes it very clear that before you can be baptized, you have to believe. So what's happening today is not making Imi or Emma a Christian. They are already that. And the baptism is a way to show us and to share with us and tell us what's happened. And baptism is a story of, we start out on this side here. This symbolizes living our own life, living a life away from God, ignorant of God, or rebelling against God. And what happens is we walk down into the water to show that we've met with Jesus, and Jesus wants us to change our life. And he actually wants us to die to our old way of life and start living a new life. So when there's a death, there needs to be a burial. So when I take the girls under the water, that is signifying the burial of their old way of life. The life that they lived for themselves, the life that they lived without recognizing God. Now, here's the first of the old jokes. The wonderful thing about the Christian faith is that after death, there's a resurrection. Otherwise, I'd be in big trouble for drowning several people over the years. And so we bring them back up out of the water to signify that their new life with Jesus has started. They've risen from the dead, just as Jesus rose from the dead, into a new way of living. And that way of living is a way of life that is filled with Jesus, and is the purpose of that life is to follow Jesus, get to know him more. As our little mission statement, big mission statement up there says, to know Jesus and then to make him known by the way that we live. And what happens then is that we'll pray for them when they're in the water. And then just to complete the picture of going from death to life, or from darkness to light, or from fear to hope, whatever you want to call it, they will turn around. The actual literal meaning of the word repentance means about turn. So they will turn around and they will go out of the pool this way to signify that they've left their old way of life behind and they've started on a new way of life. So that's the story that we're telling, something that's happened already to Imi and to Emma, but there's a bit more involved in it than that, and it's up to them to tell us what that is. So Imi, you're up first. This is the bit she's really been looking forward to.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Imogen, and I have been coming to this church since I was about 1 year old. I grew up in a strong Christian household, and as a family, we would try to come to church most Sundays. I became a Christian when I was about 8 years old. I was reading the Bible with my dad and my older sister, and I was asking questions about Jesus. I felt a wave of peace and comfort come over me, and I knew I wanted Jesus in my heart and life. I told my dad I want Jesus in my life too. My dad said a prayer with me, and I was so happy. I went and told my mum in the other room, but she said she was heard and she was crying with happy tears. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a very anxious person and a very bad anxiety, which is one of the main reasons I've put off being baptized. Is I hate public speaking and I don't like doing anything large groups. A few years ago, I got diagnosed with an eye condition that runs in my family. I was so scared about my future and I felt like there wasn't a plan for me. A lot of people have friends for support, but for me, it was my parents and sisters. They are my support rocks. I kept praying and asking where my life was going and wondering why God wasn't answering my prayers. After high school, I went to study animals as I went to study animal care as I love animals and have always wanted to work with them. The animal side I loved, but my faith and belief was questioned and challenged daily by those around me. It got better in the last year as I was able to take my animal duties on and study more in depth about animal behaviour. So I was able to focus more on my studies and have a clearer mindset of my faith. I still don't understand why bad things happen, but I do know to trust and obey. And I do know I've always tried to be open about my faith, but sometimes being honest and sharing can make life a bit harder. But I have a strong belief that I want to share. I had 2 months looking and applying for work, but I kept getting rejected. I would constantly be telling myself there must be a plan, but it would still bring me down. I now understand why there were so many rejections, as I now work for London Zoo, and one of my main duties is feeding the penguins, which is the highlight of my week. I'm getting baptized today because God is bigger than my anxiety and doubt, and I know He has a plan for me. It may not be my plan, but it will be so much better for me. Thank you for listening.
Well done. Thank you, Amy. And there's a real sign of God working in you, the fact that you were just able to do that, even though you were shaking like a leaf. Bless you. That's great. We're going to stand and sing again. What we do is we always invite the baptismal candidates to choose a favourite song to follow on from their testimony. And you've just heard her testimony, and this is the song that follows it. It's called Goodness of God. So if you're able to stand, please do.
You, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Please be seated. Emma, you're up. That might need to come up a bit for you, mightn't it?
Yeah. Thank you. Hello, my name is Emma. I'm the daughter of Karen and James Ingray. I'm the granddaughter of Enid and John Ingray, so make of that what you will, but please don't hold it against me. I've grown up in a Christian family with going to church, and I asked Jesus into my life when I was maybe around 5 or 6 with my dad, after I asked him, how do I become a Christian? Since then, I've asked Jesus into my life and have repeated that prayer multiple times. I've had many doubts and questions, and often regarded myself as a lukewarm Christian, who just plodded along without furthering my faith or my relationship with God. Through the last couple of years, many things have happened, and there were times where I didn't feel connected to God, and I didn't feel like he loved me. I didn't feel like worthy of forgiving or worthy, and I felt like I was drowning in my sin. However, through God's grace, patience, and love, despite all those issues, I've always returned to Christianity and God. For some reason, I couldn't fully let go, and I always knew I wanted to follow Christ. My baptism today won't take away these doubts, but will reinforce my belief that Jesus is the truth, the right way, and that I want to follow him, even though I cannot fully explain why it feels right in my heart, despite my doubts and my fears. So I thank God he never let go of me, and he led me here. I'll just quickly read one of my favorite psalms I've read countless times. It's Psalm 116. Can't see. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did, and you have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank you offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. As like in that verse 18, I'm fulfilling my commitment to the Lord today, and like that verse, once again I thank God, and once again I pour out my life to him.
That's even too high for me now. Thanks, Emma. And what I loved about both of your testimonies was that you were so honest about your struggles. A lot of people think, or have been told, that if you become a Christian, you don't have any more problems, you don't have any more struggles, any more issues. I think we've just heard from these two that becoming a Christian doesn't take your struggles away, but it does give you that assurance that you have God's help and God's strength and God's presence in your life. I can personally testify that I had far less struggles and troubles before I was a Christian. We'll get into that later, perhaps. But the wonderful thing is that we can know, as we just sang, the goodness of God in all of that. Nobody has to be perfect. None of us can be perfect. Only Jesus is. And I know some people think, well, I can't possibly be baptized because I haven't got it all sorted out yet. Well, you never will in this life. But God has got it all sorted out. And Jesus has got his eye on you. He's got his heart for you. And he wants to walk with you through life, which is what the two girls have just been sharing. And I think that Emma's choice of song really does emphasize that no matter what else is going on, it's all about Jesus and his sacrifice for us. So again, if we're able to, please stand and we'll sing. And while we're doing this, the barriers are going to be taken away from the pool. So if you do have small people with you, please keep a tight hold.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I wonder at your gift of life, and in that grace once again. And in that grace once again. Once again I live on the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life.
To help with the baptism as well, and I've set him off already. That's a really meaningful, powerful sort of thing, and something that God honours, I know that without any doubt. So, Imogen, come on down. So Imogen, it's got three questions for you. Nice and easy ones. Just require the answer so I do. Imogen, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
With the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in service to God wherever he may call you to go?
I do.
And will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world? Thank you.
Too much hair. Yes, I'm jealous. So Imogen, having heard your testimony of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ,
having heard of your desire to be baptized, it gives us the greatest pleasure to do just that and baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I thank you for her kindness. We pray for her compassion and her courage to speak about you in everyday life. Lord, we just pray that this your strength enables her to continue in her faith and that she feels endlessly close to you in the years to come. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Imogen, we do have more than one verse for you. It's not just because you're so wanted, right? Just that that's another world's empty. It's from Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, and it says this. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like the tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Father, we thank you that Imogen trusts in you. And we thank you that that trust goes beyond the circumstances of her life and her health. And we thank you that that trust is rooted in the person of Jesus, her Savior. And Lord, that's where her roots go. That's the stream of living water. It's Jesus. It's your Spirit. It's your love. And we just want to pray for her today that she would send her roots ever deeper into Jesus, that she would grow in faith and understanding, that she would grow in confidence and trust. And Lord, we do pray for your anointing upon her, that you would give her the grace that she needs to do the things that you have planned for her. And may she bear fruit for you as she witnesses to your love in her life. Bless her and anoint her, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Holy Spirit. With the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in service to God wherever he may call you to go?
I do.
And will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
I do.
Emma, having heard your declaration of faith and trust and your testimony of your experience of Jesus and his love in your life, it now gives us the greatest pleasure to baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Energy, her joyfulness, and her sheer enthusiasm about her faith. Lord, we just pray, especially for Emma, for stillness in heart for you, and that your loving kindness will always wrap around her and that she'll feel your peace in the times of any trouble. We just pray this in Jesus' precious name.
Actually, Emma, you've got more than one verse as well. I don't know what was going on, but heavy head. Psalm 108, verses 3 to 5 for you. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Father, again, we thank you for Emma's faith. We thank you for her conviction of your presence in her life, her experience of your forgiveness and your goodness. May her life be a life of praise to you. May there be something in her that people ask what's different about you. May she have the words to answer and to share what she believes about you, her Lord and her Saviour. And again, for Emma, we pray, Lord, a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd encourage her, that you'd excite her, that you'd bless her and equip her for the plan that you have for her, and that she would begin to see that unfold and walk boldly down the path that you have called her to go. And may she continue to be a blessing to many and a source of joy and someone whom you can speak through to reveal your goodness and your grace and your love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Your ways back to your seats, and people in the overflow, good word for today, isn't it? People in the overflow, please stay where you are for now. Lots of song choices and another song to sort of wrap together some of the thoughts we've been able to share. Thank you. Let's stand and sit down. The order of service says notices. I've only got two, unless somebody has got one that is standing out in the porch. No. Okay. No, thank you. It normally sounds like that anyway. 11 o'clock Wednesday is Jean Sell's funeral. It'd be great if people who are free can come and support the family on Wednesday. 2 weeks to the start of Holiday Bible Club. Yay. In our house, it's not, would you like a cup of coffee? It's, what should we do on, oh yes. I've sent two emails out to about 40 people and I've had about six replies. So if you're helping with Holiday Bible Club, do have a look in your inbox, please. One is to share the invite that those who are helping, who are on the team for HBC, are invited to youth gathering next Sunday at 6. If you can't make that, 7:15 for our important get together. And the other is an invite to free food. So at least read the second email and reply to Helen Jones if you can with that. Now, this is the bossy bit, because we really don't want people to either fall in the baptistry or run into the road. So in a moment, Heather is, like now, going to stand at the back. And if we can, in a moment, not yet, get all the children out there. People in the overflow, on the count of three, could you leave through the side doors to the car park, make some sort of guard of honour so that the children can get past you into the hall at the back. So on the count of three. Oh, sorry, one, two, three. People in the overflow would be loving to come in here. So if spaces are created, if you don't mind moving in a bit, or at least let them climb over you to get into a seat. So children, if you'd like to make your way that way and that way, and Heather will stop you leaving through the door. And then in a moment, Cliff is going to come and share a scripture.
So in a moment, we will have our reading, but we'll wait for those that have been in the overflow to come through and take their seats first. For those that wish to be prepared, although I think the reading might be on the screen when we get... Nope. As the reading won't be on the screen, those of you that have smart devices, you may wish to look up Ephesians chapter 1 in the Message version. So if you have a hard-backed Bible, you might still be able to follow the gist, but the actual details are in a Message version, so that's not what we have in our so-called pew Bibles. Yeah, from the front, I can see plenty of seats still, so we should be okay. Okay, I think that is most, so we shall start. So this is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14 from the Message version. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us up to the high places of blessing him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you had heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This down payment from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life.
Thank you, Cliff. Thank you, Mike, for standing in the gap, as it were. I do have an... Have we had this notice about the car, Cliff? We haven't, okay. Just a gentle notice here. If your car is BV06FML, could you please move it at the end of the service as you're blocking others in on the grass here? They can't get out by the church service because the other car there is a residence car. So don't need to do it. Don't need to. Are you going to move yours? Okay. That would have made much more sense, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well... Don't shoot the messenger. Shoot Cliff. Ah, oh, dear. That was very nice in there, actually. It was just right for today. So what you've just seen is something that is very simple, but it's really, really meaningful and really, really important. It's not something you're expected to do if you grow up in a Christian family or if your surname is Ingray or anything like that. Nor is it some religious rite of passage to try and get God to like you or make yourself feel better. And we've already thought about what the actual baptisms mean, about that journey from death on one side to life, from living our own way to choosing to live God's way. And of course it's about that. And it's about all that we are offered in Jesus, which is at the centre of not just Emma and Emmy's baptisms, but actually of their very lives. And I think that came across quite clearly in what they were sharing earlier on. And here in Ephesians 1, in the Message version, we're given an incredible list of reasons why choosing to follow Jesus is not just a really good choice, but the best choice we could ever make. Here's a few of those reasons. In Jesus, first of all, God promises us blessing. And a blessing is far more than some words muttered over us in church or that we might give over a meal. This blessing is the promise and the assurance that God is with us, that God is for us, and that God loves us. That actually there in those three phrases is pretty much the message of Christmas and the whole incarnation of Jesus coming to live on earth to represent God to us. Jesus tells us God is with us, God is for us, and God is love us. Lots of people will tell you other things about God. Lots of people will, what's the word words we use? They say fake news, isn't it? And lots of people will mention fake news about God, but the Bible is the truth about God, and it says that he is with us, that he is for us, and that he loves us. And in fact, more than that, because here in these verses this morning, we had this. We had long before the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He'd settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. This is actually a mind-boggling thing. I mention it every now and then because it just continues to excite me and encourage me. Because it tells you that you don't have to earn God's love. Because God loved you long ago, before the earth's foundations. And this is where the boggling bit of the mind comes in. Before he'd even created the heavens and the earth, before it even put the stars in the sky, the birds in the air, the fish in the sea, the animals on the land, everything else, God had already had you and me in mind. God was already loving us, or the idea of us, before he'd even created this world. You see, humans aren't made for this planet. This planet was made for humans. God thought, I want to put something really wonderful in place for these people that I'm going to create in my own image, people who I'm going to love as my sons and my daughters. And so before the earth was even created, and this is where it really boggles, God was thinking about you. Before the world was created, God was thinking about you and me. He was thinking about us. And just that lovely phrase there, he'd settled on us as the focus of his love. I've been dabbling a little bit with photography since about this time last year. And it really is stretching the word even to say dabbling, actually, but I have had a few goes. And I like going bird watching, but I like going bird watching on the reserves, where you go and you sit in a hide and you wait for the birds to come and go. And none of the lenses that I've got from the camera that I use, which is actually my middle daughter's camera, which she's kind of given me on permanent loan, they don't quite reach where the birds are. I can't get them in focus. No matter how I try, how hard I try, I cannot get them. I need a bigger lens. I probably need a telephoto lens. But I just say that to illustrate how much God focuses on you and me. If you've ever tried to pick something out of a crowd, or if you, like me, go bird watching, or if you're a golfer and you've lost your ball and you're looking for it in the rough, Gareth, and you're focused on that one thing and everything else doesn't matter. God's focus is on you and me. We are the most important thing in creation to him, and he does everything he can to let us know that he has that focus on us. And that focus of his love is so that we are made whole and holy by his love. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things here that I want for my life, that most people, I think, want for their lives. We want to know that we're loved, don't we? We want to know that we're loved. We want to know that somewhere someone is thinking about us and wants to help us find wholeness in our lives. We want to know that our lives have meaning and purpose. As we were talking earlier, that there is a plan, that there's a direction, that there's hope. These are all things that are basic human desires, wants, needs. All of these things can be fulfilled in God, who had us in his mind before the creation of the world, and who demonstrates that fact in and through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And I just want to really ram this point home. So many people think that we have to do stuff to get God to like us. We have to go through religious behavior to get God to like us or to love us. We have to follow certain steps. We have to pray a certain number of times a day. We have to help a certain number of old ladies across the road, whether they want to go across the road or not. Stuff like that. That's legalism. That's what the Bible calls that. That's works. That's us, by our own efforts, trying to do it. And it comes back to my trying and failing to get into focus when I'm bird watching, because actually the lenses that I've got are not powerful enough to reach what I'm looking for. And anything that we do is not powerful enough or strong enough to reach what we're looking for in life, because it's only found in God, who is perfect. But he has already made that available to us from before the creation of the world. So no matter what effort you or I try to make, we are not going to change how God feels about us right now. How does God feel about us right now? He loves us. Every single person in this room, every single family represented here, God loves you. There is no question about that. There is no argument about that. The Bible makes it so clear. And God has loved us since before the creation of the world. Now, looking around, there are a few old people here. But I don't think any of the old folk here were around before the creation of the world. And if God loves us from that long ago, and we could have the debate over Big Bang or evolution or scientific stuff or whatever, doesn't really matter, because whatever it was, it took a long time. And for all that time, God has loved you and God has loved me. When you think about how short our time on earth is, that 70 years plus 10, the Bible says, so 75's good. If you're above 75, you're doing really, really well. You're into extra time. Keep on going till you score that winning goal. The amount of time we spend on earth is minuscule compared to the eternity that God dwells in. And nothing will ever change the love that God has for you or for me. The song you were singing while we were out getting dried talks about, I am the guilty one, yet I go free. God loves us so much, he doesn't want us to be punished. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. No matter what you've heard from other people, what God does is he shows us how we can get to be with him for eternity, and then he honours our choice about that. Because God is love, and God loves us, and love doesn't force us to do anything. One of the best theological commentaries on this that I've ever come across is in the film Bruce Almighty. If you don't know it, I'll try not to spoil it for you, but it's really well worth watching, even if you've watched it a few times. There's this guy called Bruce, he's ticked off with God, he has an encounter with God, and God says, I'm going to give you all my powers. And he says, there's only one thing you can't do. You can't force anybody to love you. You can't use your powers to make somebody love you. You can use your powers to show them how much they're loved, but you can't force them to love you. So God does everything he can, including sending his only son to die on the cross for our sins, to show us how much he loves us, but he cannot force us to love him back, because he gives us this thing called free will. So God doesn't send us to hell. God honours our choices that we make in response to him showing us he loves us. And if we say yes to God's love, we are promised one destiny. If we say no to God's love, we're promised another. Now, those aren't popular things to say these days, but that's what the Bible says. That's the truth. And all that stuff that God offers to us, there's even more, because God's love is his gift to us, and that gift includes forgiveness for things we've done wrong. It includes acceptance. And here's a wonderful thing, adoption into God's family. These are all the things that we're offered, and God knows they're the best things for us, but he lets us make the final decision about whether we want them or not. Because of Jesus, and it's summed up so well in Emma's baptism song, because of Jesus, what he did on the cross in rising from the dead, we can not only know God's love, but we can know that we have a new status as his adopted sons and daughters. And I love this image, because if you adopt someone, you've actually chosen them. The Romans did this all the time. They adopted sons and daughters to carry on their family line. And of course, we still have adoptions today. But to be adopted, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, because someone's seen you and said, I really love you. I want to be in your life and I want to help your life flourish. And that's what God says to you and me. Verses 7 and 8, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, We're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. There is freedom, ironically, when we surrender to Jesus. The world will tell us that freedom comes through ignoring what God has to say. But that's just a kind of imprisonment, because it never satisfies, it never helps, it never encourages wholeness. But God says, I've loved you since before the beginning of time. I've sent my Son to show you that love. And I offer you that love and forgiveness. And all you have to do is say yes and put your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross. Of course, he didn't say, oh, hello, something's gone wrong there. Don't worry, just blank it. It's fine. I've nearly finished. Hooray! Of course, yes, Jesus died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. Because if he just died and stayed dead, it wouldn't make any difference to your life or my life. But he's the only one person in the whole of history who was certified dead and then on the third day rose from the dead and was seen and spoken to and embraced by others. And that's not just something that we've kind of made up to try and make the story sound good. That's historical fact. I was a history teacher before I was a pastor, and there are sources by contemporary historians indicating the historical truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sources that were written much closer to the events than other ones that we don't question at all in other areas. And in rising from the dead, Jesus made a declaration. He said, anyone who chooses to follow me, that's Jesus, not Martin, would know in reality all those things we've just been thinking about. Verse 11 says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. People spend a fortune on trying to find themselves. Now, it was quite fashionable when I was younger for people to go off to Asia to find themselves. I don't know whether that's still the case today or whether people go somewhere else. But, you know, when you get to Asia, you don't find yourself. You're just there still. And you're the same person as you were when you left here. And actually, people try all sorts of activities, of habits, of behaviours, of beliefs. But the truth is, the only way you can truly find out who you are and what you're living for is in Jesus. Because we were created by him, to know him and to be loved by him. Immy and Emma have discovered that for themselves, and being baptised is one way for them to tell us about it. So when it comes down to it, life, its meaning, its purpose and direction, they're all tied up in Jesus Christ. So if you're looking for meaning today, if you're looking for purpose, if you're looking for direction, if you're looking for forgiveness, if you're looking for someone that you'll know will love you for the rest of your life and on into eternity, look to Jesus. If you feel lost or weighed down by guilt and regrets, look to Jesus. If you've done wrong and need to get a clean slate, look to Jesus, because he is the only one who can do these things for us. And I just want to encourage you, I'll do it again in a minute, but I want to encourage you, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, seriously consider doing so. You've heard real stories from real people, and that they're not boring old theological people who are disconnected from the world. They're two vibrant young ladies who are involved in day-to-day life, just like the rest of us are. If you want any of those things, you can find them in Jesus. And to help us think about that, we're going to sing our next song again, which is one that one of the girls has chosen. Can't remember which one of you chose this one. I do apologise. If you want to go, it's me, when it comes up, that's fine, but you don't have to. So if you're able to, please stand with us.
Great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the light. And through the
Be seated just for a moment. So all along I've been talking about not religion but relationship, God wanting a relationship with us through Jesus, and that's the gift that he offers us. And with every gift we have to accept it, and when we accept it we have to open it. I don't know anyone who's ever been given a present who has just put it on the side and think, I'll forget about that. Certainly, if anyone gives me a gift, I'll rip the paper off to see what it is. Might be a bag of Maltesers. God offers that gift to us of love and of forgiveness and of adoption, of relationship. So, you know, it would be remiss of me challenge you, to encourage you to find out more. It's maybe your first time in church, it may be your 101st time in church, but you've never quite made the connection with all the stuff that goes on and with the person of Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage you to get to know him. We can help you with that. You can just come and ask me or one of the team who've been involved today, and we can help you with that, point in the right direction. If you're a little bit shy, we have a few of these little booklets, which are called Why Jesus. They explain why we think Jesus is the answer to all those things that we've been talking about. But I really do encourage you. This is the most important choice and decision any of us can make. Is Jesus real? Is what he says true? And if it is, what does that mean for me? And then if you're already a believer in Jesus, have you been baptized? Because Jesus says, if you obey me, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And one of the first commands he gave, in fact, one of the last commands he gave before he went back to heaven, was to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian and you love Jesus, you should get baptized. It's as simple as that. I'm not going to throw out condemnation if you haven't. I just want to throw out encouragement to come and see me, and we'll set up another day to do some more baptisms, because we love doing baptisms in this church, and it's one of the favourite parts of what I do for me is baptising people, because there's such a blessing from God involved in that. And then finally, all of us, there's some big truths we've thought about this morning about how life should be lived and about how important we are to God. No matter what the circumstances of life are, to know that God is with us and God is for us and God loves us. And I just want to challenge each and every one of us to live our lives in the light of those truths and let them make a difference to the way we face life this week and next week and all the other weeks until Jesus returns or calls us home, whether we have lots of extra time or not in that situation. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing our final song. And just to say as well, we will have a prayer team down the front here if you'd like to come and get some information, or you'd like to get some prayer for something, or you'd just like to talk to somebody about something you've seen or heard today. That's what they're here for. Please do come. and grab them, or as I said, grab any of those of us who've been up the front during the service. Lord God, we thank you for your amazing gift of love and of life in Jesus. We thank you for the stories we've heard today from Immy and Emma about how you have impacted their lives and how they have greater confidence and greater purpose in their lives, knowing that they are loved and forgiven by you. And Father God, if there's anyone here this morning who has yet to put their faith in you, may something of what we've said get through to their heart and to their minds and just prompt them. Yes, I want to follow Jesus like those two girls do. Yes, I want to be part of Jesus like this church is. And Lord, if we are believers already but we haven't been baptized, give us a nudge and help us to see that it's part of our discipleship to honour you by going through the waters and sharing our testimony. But then for all of us, it's not just about knowing these things, it's about putting them into practice in our lives. So Holy Spirit, just invite you to come and to touch us in those areas of our lives where we need to be more obedient to Jesus, where we need to be more connected to him, where we need to enjoy our forgiveness more and celebrate our adoption as sons and daughters and rejoice in your love. Lord, it's always good that if we know we're forgiven and we're loved, to let our faces show it and to let our lives show it. And so we just ask you to impart that power and that grace that we need to live for you. And thank you that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what other people think about us. It doesn't matter what other people say about us. What is important is who you say we are. And we are loved. And we are offered the chance to live in that love and that freedom. May we accept your gifts as you offer them. And may our lives be changed because of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our final song, which again picks up on the relationship that God offers us and helps us to think a little bit more about who it is that we actually are and how incredible it is that we're loved in this way by God. Afterwards, we'd love you to hang around for teas and coffees out in the church hall. Probably best to go round out that way as well. As I said, if you want to chat about anything or get some prayer, there'll be folk here for you. Who am I that the highest King should welcome me? I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me here. His love for me, for his love for me. Through the sun sets free, all is redeemed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
So may we go from this place knowing that we are loved by God since before the creation of the world. Knowing that we are chosen by God out of his love to be his sons and daughters. All we have to do is say yes to him. May we go knowing that it's not what other people think about us that matters, but it's what God thinks about us that matters. And may we know the freedom and the joy and the love that comes from being in a relationship with God. And may his blessing be on all of us this day and every day to come. Amen.